Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Chun Daf Kuf Chav Tes Chun 129. Today's Daf Yomi, we come to the conclusion of the ninth chapter of Chun, the ninth chapter of Haor Vaharotev. And in this chapter, even though the whole chapter has been discussing an animal, at this point, after we've been discussing the ritual impurity of an animal, we now move on to a Mishnah that discusses the ritual impurity of a human being when as it relates to the tumah that comes from a limb and the flesh that comes from the part of the body that is hanging or dangling. And the Meiri writes that this Mishnah really is not supposed to be in our chapter, but it's just brought here because of the fact that it relates to the limbs of animals, which had previously been discussed. So the Mishnah on 129b states, Ha'ever, if you have a complete limb, V'habasar, and if you have pieces of flesh, Hamidul Da'ulin Ba'adam, which are dangling from a person, that meaning to say they are mostly severed, but there's just a part of it that's severed and the person is still alive, then we say that under those circumstances they are going to be tahorim, those limbs are not going to be considered tamei. They're not going to be able to impart ritual impurity, because ritual impurity comes after a person has been dead. Adam ki amuspa ohel. So until the person dies, we're going to consider it like it's not able to impart ritual impurity. And so there, as long as he's alive, the limb and the flesh will not be able to impart ritual impurity. But mesa adam, that if a person will die and then they have this part of this flesh which was hanging, habasar tahor, then the flesh itself is going to be considered to be ritually pure, because we consider it like it was flesh that was severed before he died, and so therefore that does not impart ritual impurity. V'ha'ever mitame mishum ever, where minachai, and the limb is going to impart ritual impurity on the basis of a limb that separates from a living person, because the concept is that if a limb separated from a living person before he dies, then we're going to say that does impart ritual impurity. However, ve'enu mitame mishum ever min amesi, but it does not impart ritual impurity because of living person, that's a limb that separates from a dead body. That is a position of Rabbi Meir, whereas Rabbi Shimon says that it is mitar. Rabbi Shimon says that it is tahar. And so the Gemara is going to discuss the distinction between the ritual impurity that comes from a limb that was separated from a living person, between the tumah that comes from a limb from a dead person. And the Gemara is going to discuss what's the basis for Rabbi Shimon's position. So in our Gemara, Rabbi Yoshua comes and has a discussion with Rabbi Eliezer. And as a result of this discussion, Rabbi Yoshua records a position that he wants to prove by a logical argument. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, that which you heard, that a limb from a living person is able to impart tumah, you should obviously say that minachai, if it comes from a living person, the limb and was severed, is able to impart tumah. V'lo min ames, of course it should be able to impart tumah if it comes from a dead body. U'mikal v'chomer, and it's illogical. We should make a logical argument. U'machai she'u tahor, if a living person, who generally speaking is tahor, ever aporesh v'menu tameh, the limb that separates from him imparts ritual impurity. Mase, a dead person itself, she'u tameh, where he himself is dead. Lo kol shekein, for sure it should be the case that the limb that separates from him will also be tamei. And furthermore, Rabbi Yoshua continues and says, I'll prove to you, because we have a lost work which was called Megillas Tanis. And Megillas Tanis, in the second chapter of Megillas Tanis, in the Megillas Tanis, we don't have all these holidays anymore. But it writes there, Megillas Tanis, Kasuv b'Megillas Tanis, says Rabbi Yoshua, that on the 14th day, which was the day of Pesach Sheni, Pischa Ze'ira Dulo Mispit, that on the second Pesach, meaning to say those who missed the first Pesach, on the second Pesach, on Pesach Sheni, that is a day which you're not allowed to eulogize, because Megillas Tanis means Megillah fast days, but really it lists all those days which you're not allowed to fast, and you're not allowed to eulogize. And one of those days was Pesach Sheni. If you missed the first Pesach, you had an opportunity, if you had a good reason for missing the first Pesach, to bring the Korban Pesach on the second Pesach, amongst a month later. And so therefore, if you are able to do it, ha rabbala misbad, and so therefore we learn out from this language for sure that on the first Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, would you say that it is permitted to eulogize? Obviously, if it's not permitted to eulogize on the second Pesach, for sure, on the Pesach Sheni, which is a small Pesach, for sure you can't eulogize on the first Pesach. Ella kol dekein, hachinami kol dekein. So we see from here that you're able to make a logical argument that if there's something that is just a derivative or smaller, you can't, it imparts ritual impurity. For sure, from a dead body, which a limb would also impart ritual impurity. And so that was the argument that Rabbi Yeshua made. But we see from here that in the name of the Megillas Tainus, we see that the Pesach Sheni, which is a very, very minor holiday, is certainly something which you don't eulogize. And the Shoah Meshev asks that he writes that he once had an incident happen, that a very distinguished person died on Pesach Sheni, and he was asked whether or not you're allowed to eulogize him. And at first he thought, well, it's obviously from our text that we don't, from our Gemara, that we don't eulogize on Pesach Sheni. However, he said that's not really a proof, because Megillas Tainus was nullified, and we have a teaching that Shulchan Aruch says that all of those days which are written there, we're actually allowed now to fast, with the exception of Hanukkah and Purim. So even though we had this teaching in our Gemara that you're not allowed to eulogize or fast on Pesach Sheni, elsewhere we say that only applies to Hanukkah and Purim. But the Shulchan Aruch says really Pesach Sheni is different, because all the other days are not coming from something that was intrinsic to the day, but Pesach Sheni is something that was intrinsic to the day itself, that it was dependent upon the holiness of Pesach Rishon, of the bringing of the Korban. So therefore, really, this is a day which one shouldn't fast or eulogize. That is the argument.